We are so grateful for another time that we can come together to fellowship with you and with one another. We are so thankful for the spirit of grace that is in our midst this morning to minister to every one of us according to your perfect will. Thank you that we, as your servants, we have ears to hear what your spirit has to say to us here today. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you as we search the scriptures today. Thank you for giving us clarity of understanding and also helping us by your grace, not just to hear the word only, but to make the right choices to be doers of your word and profit thereby. Blessed Holy Spirit, we thank you for everything that you teach us today and you help us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 5. And let us read together from verse 12 down to verse 15. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Let's go. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's look at this phrase in verse 15 first before we focus on what we are focusing on this morning. Please underline in your Bible the phrase, to hear and to be healed by him. To hear and to be healed by him. To hear and to be healed by him. In other words, to be healed by Jesus. Not to be healed by any man but Jesus. Not to be healed by anyone but Jesus. Say to your neighbor, Jesus is your healer. And he knows how to heal all manner of sickness and disease. If you look to him in faith. Amen. But you see, the first thing the people came to do was not just to be healed by him, but to first of all hear him. And that's where we run into problems today. Not many of us want to hear the word. We just want somebody to wave hands over our sicknesses and cure them. We are the microwave generation. We've forgotten how to slow cook. Some years ago, if you wanted to cook rice, you put it in a slow cooker. It would take time to cook. But nowadays, people just want to put that rice in the microwave and get it done within a few minutes. But you see, God has not changed. Say to your neighbor, God has not changed. Things may change all around us in the world, but God remains the same. Amen. You see, God takes time to do everything he does. God is not someone that is as flimsy as we are. God is a God who delights in taking time to do a perfect job. Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of light. Notice, good and perfect. God doesn't just want to do something for doing sake. Whatsoever God does it perfectly. It takes his time to do whatsoever he wants to do perfectly. That is the nature of God. And that is why we can look to him at all times and trust in him and expect him to help us and really get the job done the way we require that the job should be done. When you are in trouble, you need somebody to get you out of that trouble and get you out intact. You know, you can be in trouble and someone may come and help you, but then at the end of the day, they get you out of trouble, but you have suffered so much damage. Maybe you've suffered a lot of harm. There's injury all over you, bruises all over you. They get you out of the trouble, okay, but you have a lot of marks on you that will always, you know, remind you of the trouble, and then a lot of scars that would seem to be permanent, you know, as telltales of the damage that you have suffered in the situation. But you know, God is not like that. When God comes to get you out of trouble, he gets you out intact, and there will be no harm, no damage. Bible says not one of their bones will be broken. In other words, when God comes to help the righteous, he delivers them and he does a perfect job. Bible says the righteous shall suffer no harm. Why? Because God will look after the righteous, save them, and save them perfectly. So always remember that God knows how to do a perfect job of helping every one of us and really doing it in such a way that we can know that it is the doing of the Lord, not any man, so that God alone can get all the glory. So again, we see here that the first thing the people came to do was to hear. Not primarily to be healed, but to first of all hear Jesus. When Luke chapter 5 verse 15. So they came to hear him. Why? Because those people understood that the first thing would be to honor the master by listening to him. Because a servant has to honor his master. The servant is not the one that makes decisions. The servant listens to the master's instructions and carries them out. So in coming to hear Jesus, they were acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Master. They were looking to him to give them instruction about what they need to do, knowing that if they would obey the Master, then the Master will bless them. But unfortunately, in the church today, many of us have lost that respect for God. We have lost that respect for Jesus. We don't want to listen to his instructions. We don't even want to hear his words. We just want him to bless us. You know, look at it in the natural setting. If a servant is not willing to please his master or to do what his master wants, and he just wants the master to bless him, would the master call that servant a profitable one? No, he will probably sack him and look for someone else. He will cast him out. For instance, if you hire someone to clean your house for you, you are going to pay him for doing the job and maybe also give him certain other benefits for doing the job. But then, instead of him cleaning the house, he decides to just sit down like you do. Because he says, well, I want to be like master. Just sit down, cross his leg on the sofa, and read newspaper all day long. And then when you come back, are you going to say, oh, well done, my servant. Good and profitable servant. You sat down well. You just sat down like me. And you've read the newspaper well today. Ah, you've read the news. Well done. Here is your salary. Which one of us will do that? Not one of us. Because that servant is hired to clean the house. But he decides to just be like you. Sit down, cross his legs, and read newspaper. So it's unprofitable to you. But that's what we try to do many times. We misinterpret scriptures. We have lost respect for Jesus, many of us, because we think, well, because Bible says Jesus, Jesus speaking in the Bible says a servant cannot be above his master, but it can be equal with the master. So I'm just going to be like Jesus and just act like boss also. I'm Lord like Jesus. After all, he has made me kings and priests unto God, as Bible says. Oh, I'm just going to be like Jesus. Well, that's not what it means to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, you first of all have to be a disciple. You have to learn from the master before you can mature into the stature of the master. Which means you have to listen to the master's instructions and then begin to do exactly what the master says. And in obeying the master, you become gradually like the master. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Not because he came to do his will, but because he came to do the will of the Father, you see. He went about doing the will of the Father. And so because of that, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? I'm not doing my will. I'm doing the will of the Father. If the Father were to be here, he would do exactly the same thing because I'm obeying him. I'm carrying out his instructions for him. So that's how we should be. So the first thing we have to get right in our lives daily is that willingness to hear the word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And as we shall see this morning, the number one thing we all need to receive healing from God or help in any other area of our lives when we have a need is faith. If we don't have faith, we cannot receive help from God. It is not that God is withholding the help from us. We are the ones not receiving it. You see, I know many of us have asked questions like this. How come some people are healed of their sicknesses and then some others are not healed? Well, one thing we find in scripture is that God heals everyone that comes to him by faith. So, it is possible that people come to Jesus, but they don't have faith to receive what he has to offer them. So, they are the ones missing out on what Jesus has for them. It is not Jesus withholding it from them. In fact, Jesus tells us that God will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. And healing is a good thing. So God is not withholding healing from anybody, particularly those of us who are his children. God is not withholding healing from any Christian. So don't get into that mentality of trying to figure out how he said that some Christians are healed and some are not healed. Well, maybe God heals some and then God doesn't heal some. No, God heals all. Say to your neighbor, God heals all his children. The problem is that many of his children don't know how to receive the healing from God. Amen. And that's the problem with many of us. We don't know how to receive. It's not that God is not giving, but we don't know how to receive. Let me give you a quick illustration. In this room where we are gathered this morning, there is radio signal and there is TV signal in this room. Isn't that so? Always present here. Always present here. Whether we are in this room or not, there is a TV signal and radio signal. How come we are not seeing any TV station? How come we are not listening to any radio station? The answer is simple. We don't have a receiver. If we have a TV box or a radio box here right now and we turn it on, we will receive the signal. It is not when we turn on the TV or the radio that the signal enters into the room. The signal is always there. But for you to benefit from the signal, you need a receiver. It is the same thing with us spiritually. When it comes to receiving help from God, receiving healing from Him, receiving wisdom from Him, receiving guidance from Him, receiving deliverance from Him out of our afflictions, the help is always there for us, because God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is in us and He is always among us when we come together to fellowship with Him. Two or three, He said, when we gather in His name, He is right there in the midst of us. And wherever God is present, all the power of God and every attribute of God is available for us right in His presence. And we have to understand these things and focus on ourselves receiving from God the help that He has for us in the time of need. It is not a question as to whether God is able. The question is whether we have the faith to receive. Say to your neighbor, God is able to keep His promises, but we need faith to receive the fulfillment. Amen. Praise God. All right, so they came to hear and then to be healed. So in their hearing, they will honor the master, and also they will have the means to do what pleases the master, because after hearing the master telling them what they should do, then they respond with obedience and do it. And because of that, they are walking by faith and honoring the master, and therefore what the master has for them, they will be able to receive. So it's so simple and straightforward. We all need faith to receive help from God in the time of need. Now let's back up to verse 12 and also establish one clear thing, so that we don't allow the devil to rob us of what belongs to us as God's children. Verse 12 again says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him." Notice, the man fell on his face. In other words, he worshipped Jesus. And secondly, besought him. So he pleaded with him, so to say, or as we'll probably call it today, he prayed, he asked. He asked in prayer. So he worshipped, he asked in prayer. But the man had a problem which many of us have, or maybe have had in the past, and God has helped us to overcome, or some of us still have now. We are not so sure. We are not so sure whether we can receive the help, or whether God, you know, really is able to help us with the situation. But we have come to Him, we have worshipped Him, we have prayed, but then there is still some doubt somewhere. Because the man was saying, "Well, if you will." He's using the word "if" because it's not so sure. But then he's humble enough to say, "Well, but I know something. If you are willing, you are able. If you are willing, you are able. If you are willing, Lord Jesus, to heal me, I know you are able to heal me. But I'm not sure whether you are willing to do so." Well, let's look at Jesus' answer. Verse 13. "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will." So please let us establish this morning. It is the will of God to heal the sick that come to Him, worshipping Him and asking Him in faith. So if you come to God and you ask Him to heal you, it is His will to heal you. So don't let the devil say, "Well, it's not the will of God to heal some." Well, he heals some, he doesn't heal some. Well, that would mean God is a God of double standards. And we all know that God is not like that. He's no respecter of persons. If he heals Peter, he will heal John. As long as Peter and John do what he says that they should do, they will receive the healing. So God is a healer. He cannot change. He's such a good God. He heals every sick person. But for the sick to receive the healing, they require faith. That's why the first thing is to actually hear God so that faith can come to you. And then you can then use the faith that you have received from listening to his word to receive from him the blessing of healing or the blessing of whatsoever help that you need from him. See, whatsoever the help you need from God, whether healing or wisdom or whatever, there's only one thing God demands, and that is faith. And faith has to be based on his word. You have to find out what the word of God says about your particular need and believe accordingly and look to God in humility as this leper worshiped Jesus and prayed, asking him to touch him. So it is the will of God to heal the sick. While we're in Luke chapter 5, let's also look at verse 17 and establish one other thing. In a short while, I'll read out some statements for you to write down and take home and meditate in, but we are establishing basic things that will help us to put everything together as a unit so that we can understand what God is saying very clearly. But notice, so far we have established that it is the will of God to heal us. It is the will of God to heal us. When we come to him, it is his will to heal us. Now let us establish here in verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Please underline there in your Bible, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So we want to establish that wherever Jesus is present, the power of God to heal or to save or to deliver or to meet every need that pertains to life and godliness is also present. You see, everywhere Jesus is, power is present. In other words, the Holy Spirit is present where Jesus is present. You see, the reason, of course, is what we all know very clearly in Scripture. The Bible says God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. See, God prophesied ahead of time that the anointing will come upon his son, Jesus Christ. And then he will come to this world empowered by the Holy Spirit anointing to do all that is necessary to liberate man from sin and from the curse of the law. And Jesus came to the earth and did it. He himself, you know, on a certain day, Bible says in Luke chapter 4, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up and went into the synagogue and asked for the book of Isaiah and opened it and found where Isaiah prophesied that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me, and so on and so forth. And he closed the book and said, today it is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, I've come to fulfill what God prophesied that, you know, he would bring to pass for the sake of humanity. So Jesus is the anointed one. He is God's anointed one that was sent into this world to die for our sins and to set us free from every curse that came upon this earth because of the sin of Adam. So he is our healer, because healing is part of the redemption that he purchased for us. So wherever Jesus is, power is present also. Now, where is Jesus in your life as a Christian? That's the next question. Where is Jesus in your life? Where? It's right on the inside of you. So the power to heal is in you. The power to guide you when you don't know what to do is in you. The power to protect you from evil is in you. The power to do everything necessary according to God's will for your life is in you. Because Jesus is in you. Wherever Jesus is present, power is present because he is the anointed one. So therefore, every one of us as Christians, we have the healer on the inside of us, and we have the power to heal right on the inside of us. And then much more, when we come together to fellowship, there is what Bible says, you know, in the midst of the people that are gathered together, two or three, there is the presence of God or the corporate anointing of God that is greater in measure, to, so to say, than the individual anointing that each one of us has. Thank God we all are anointed. We have the unction of the Holy One living on the inside of us, Bible says. 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. The unction, the anointing is in us, resident in us. But then there's a corporate anointing where two or three gather together in the name of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit moves in a greater measure of power. That is why it is important to come to church. You don't just sit down and say, well, I already have the healer in me. I have this, I have that. I'm just going to sit down and get everything on my own. It doesn't work like that all the time. Sometimes God will give it to you while you're at home, but sometimes he wants to give it to you in the congregation of the saints. You can't put God in a box. And you can't be the one directing God's affairs and telling him how he should run his business. You are a servant, he is the master. He calls the shots, you obey him. That's why you don't know the day of his visitation. He may want to visit you in your room and heal you, or he may want to visit you at church and heal you. So if you are not where he wants you to be, you miss the visitation of the Lord. That's why we have to wake up in these last days. Bible says we must not forsake the assembling together of the brethren, as the manner of some is, you see. So Jesus was in that place. The power of God was present to heal, but none of them was getting anything. So far again, please remember, we have established that it is the will of God to heal us. And then healing is available where Jesus is present, which means healing is available to everyone and for every one of us as Christians. So don't entertain any thought in your mind that will tell you, well, sometimes God will heal, sometimes he won't heal. No, for you as a Christian, God heals all the time. Because healing is the children's bread, Jesus says. So if somebody didn't get their healing, you don't know. Stop thinking like somebody. Think for yourself. And say, well, I don't know why brother so-so-so did not get healed. I don't know. But I'm going to work out my own salvation, you see. I'm going to believe God for myself and act upon the word of God, because I know God never fails to keep his word. You see, many of us, many times, think, and I emphasize the word think, we think we have faith, whereas we don't have any faith at all. What we have is just head knowledge faith. Our hearts are not established in the word because we've not really taking time to hear and hear and hear over and over again, because faith doesn't come by hearing the word once. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing. In other words, you hear and you hear again and you hear again until it becomes a revelation to you. Because if you just hear it and your mind registers it, just like any other thing you hear, it's just in the mind. It's not established in your heart. You can hear the scripture that says, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, and believe that and start jumping up and down when you don't have any sickness in your body. But then when the sickness shows up, that's when you really know whether you believe that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed or not. Because all you've done is to agree with the word of God with your mind. But your heart is not established. And so in the day of trouble, your heart cannot really believe God, and you need faith in the heart, not in the mind. Faith in the heart to receive help from God, because God is looking in the heart, not in your mind. That's where we all run into problem, you see. So we need to pay the price. Get into the word. Hear it again and again and again and again and again until it becomes established in our hearts and we are fully persuaded that what God has said is the truth. I don't care how I feel. The word of God is the truth. God cannot lie. So by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I expect that one day I'm going to wake up and the symptoms of this sickness will no longer be found in my body and in my life forever in Jesus' name. That's faith talking, because you know that God never fails to keep his word. You are healed in every situation. Amen. So it is the will of God to heal us. Number two, where Jesus is present, the power to heal is present. Now, number three, let's drop down to verse 20. And when he saw their faith, so nobody was getting healed until these friends brought their paralyzed friend into the place and they had faith. Now, the power that was present was available to heal all the people that packed that room up, wherever they came from. But none of them was receiving the power. Just as I gave you the illustration a short while ago, there is radio signal in this room, but none of us is receiving any radio station because we don't have the receiver. If somebody brings a receiver in here now and turns it on, we'll be able to pick the signal and listen to the station. So the power of God is present to heal, but none of them was getting healed because they were not receiving the help or the power that was available for them until this paralyzed man was brought in and they had faith. And Bible says Jesus saw the faith. Look at verse 20. And when he saw their faith. So the third thing we want to establish is that we need faith to receive the power that will heal us. The power of God to heal us. So if you want healing, God has it for you. He will not withhold it from you, but you need faith to receive. That's why the people, first of all, came to hear him. And then secondly, to be healed. They didn't just say, oh, we just want the healing. You don't need to teach us the word. Just lay hands on us and heal us. Many people are like that today. They just go from crusade to crusade. They don't want to sit down and hear the word. They just want somebody to spoon feed them with healing. And so many of them just keep traveling up and down, wasting their money and coming back the same. No healing. Nothing. Because see, the number one way God wants to heal you as a believer is for you to first of all listen to his word and honor him. Many times, the gifts of the Spirit, they are to advertise the gospel. God will use them to bring unbelievers in. He will demonstrate his power so that they will marvel and say, oh, hey, look at this person. He was born lame, never walked in his life. But look at what, this must be God. There's no doctor that can heal this kind of condition. And then they will say, well, I want this God. I want to know this God. This God that does this kind of miracles, I want to know him. But you that, you already know God. You already are partaker of the greatest miracle that anyone can ever experience, which is the new birth, the miracle of salvation through faith in Jesus. You already are a miracle yourself. God expects you now to begin to develop your faith so that you may have faith to connect with the power that is already available to you to heal you and to make you whole and to help you in all areas of your need. Hallelujah. Now, please get your pen and paper and write this down and take home and meditate in. I'm going to give you some extra scriptures along with the points, and please study them so that you can get your heart established in the truth, so that when you need help from God, you know that the help is available. You don't doubt at all. You know it is the will of God to help you. God never turns back his children from himself. He said no one that comes to him that shall be cast away. It is the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. Jesus said, O ye of little faith, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. So all through scripture, we see a God that is willing to help, a God that is willing to save, a God that is willing to heal, a God that is willing to deliver. But the problem is with man. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. To receive help from God, you need faith. And the faith that you need has to come from God himself. You have to listen to his word and get faith from him through his word. And then you take that faith that you have received from him through his word back to him to expect him to do what he has promised. And the power of God will connect with you right in your situation and take care of it for you in Jesus' name. So please write this down. Whether we receive it or not, the truth is that healing always comes from God, whether we receive it or not. Again, we've emphasized that we need to receive what is available. So whether we receive it or not, the truth is that healing always, 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 always comes from God. God never withholds healing from us all. So healing always comes from God. And please complete the statement by adding this. Because it is always, again, I emphasize the word always, it is always the will of God to heal the sick, particularly amongst his people. You see, it's the same promise God made to Israel in the time of old, that he would take sickness away from their midst. Remember how he said so in Exodus chapter 15? He said he would take sickness from their midst because he's the God that heals them. You see, he's the God, their healer. So God is the healer unto us as his children. All the diseases of Egypt, or the diseases of the world, God said he will not allow them to come upon his own people if they obey him, if they walk in his ways. Again, in other words, if they live by faith, if they honor God by obeying his word, he will take care of every sickness for them. And he's still doing the same thing for us. All right, in front of that statement, please write the scriptures. Luke chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 8, verse 7, Psalm 103, verse 3. So healing always comes from God because God wants to heal at all times. Number two statement. Please write this down. In fact, one of the main reasons why God anointed Jesus Christ and sent him into the world. Again, in fact, one of the main reasons why God anointed Jesus Christ and sent him into the world is to heal the sick. One of the main reasons why God anointed Jesus Christ and sent him into the world is to heal the sick as part of the atonement for sin. You see, healing and the atonement for sin was accomplished together as a unit by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. One sacrifice paid the price for everything. He didn't have to die for sin separately and then die for sickness separately. One death on the cross paid the price for sin and for everything that came because of sin, all the cause of the law. That's why Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says Christ has redeemed us from the cause of the law. You see, the cause came because of sin. The cause came because of sin. Sickness came because of sin. Afflictions, troubles of life, everything came because of sin. And by one sacrifice, Jesus has paid the price for our freedom from all these things. So, healing is part of the atonement for sin. In front of that, please write Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, and again Psalm 103, verse 3. We all quote Isaiah 53 all the time, but their Bible tells us clearly that surely, surely Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. You see, he bore for us. He bore our sickness. In fact, let's turn there quickly, because many times when we read the old King James, some of us don't understand clearly what God is saying. But let's make it clear this morning and see that the atonement for sin was accomplished along with healing for sickness physically and sickness emotionally. One sacrifice paid the price for our redemption. Physically, our redemption for the soul, and our redemption for the spirit. Thank God the work of the spirit was done instantaneously the day we confessed Jesus. But the work on the soul and the body, they are ongoing until the time of final redemption. But the price is already paid. The price is already paid. That's why you can believe God for healing. That's why you can believe God for restoration of your soul. When troubles are trying to upset you in your soul, you can believe God to restore your soul, because Jesus paid the price in his atonement. Verse 4 says, surely, surely he had borne our griefs. The word translated griefs there literally means sicknesses. It's talking about physical sicknesses. He has borne our physical sicknesses. Surely he has done it. So if God has done it, then he wants us to be free from it. It will be wrong for God to put the sickness on his son Jesus and then take it back from his son and put it back on us. No, God is not the author of confusion. It is the devil that is a thief and, you know, opposer of God, the adversary to the ways of God, that tries to put back on us what Jesus delivered us from. And we must resist him by being steadfast in the faith, Bible says. So surely he has borne our griefs, or borne our sicknesses. The word borne means to carry away from. So Jesus has carried away. It's like the scapegoat in Leviticus, that Aaron would transfer all the sins of the camp of Israel on. And Bible says a strong man would take that goat and walk long distance into the wilderness to release it into the wilderness, so that goat would never come back into the camp of Israel. In other words, the sin is taken away through that scapegoat forever. So thank God, at least for 1 year then, and then the next year they will repeat it. But thank God Jesus has done it forever by one sacrifice. Is taken away from us our sicknesses. And then Isaiah said, secondly, and carried our sorrows. The word translated sorrows there literally means pain. So it's talking about emotional pain. You know, when you are going through difficult experiences of life, how you are pained within yourself. We often say it that way. Oh, I'm really pained within. There's that emotional pain. You see? And oftentimes the emotional pain is more devastating than physical pain that we suffer. But Jesus paid the price. Say to your neighbor, Jesus paid the price for your freedom from physical sickness and emotional pains and sicknesses. Amen. So he paid the price by one sacrifice. Thirdly, please write this down. It is one thing for something to come and another to receive what comes. So healing comes from God. So what I'm trying to say is this. It is one thing for me to know that healing is coming from God. Something is coming from God to me. And it's another for me to know that I need to receive what is coming. You see, if somebody sends a parcel to you by post, if you don't receive it, then it's not delivered. So it's not the fault of the person who sent it, it's the fault of the person who is not receiving it. So it will be returned back to sender. Not because the sender didn't want you to have it, but because you refuse to receive it. So the postman will take it back and return it to the sender. And many times that's how it is with us. God sends the healing, but we don't have faith to receive it. So the healing does not register in our lives. And we are wondering, how come God is not healing me? Well, God has healed you. God has sent the healing to you. Jesus has already paid the price for you to be free from that sickness, but you need faith to receive it so that it becomes your own possession. So I gave the illustration, radio and TV signal always there, but you need the receiver to receive. So please write this next then. Therefore, we need faith to receive from God whatever he sends to us. So whether healing or wisdom or guidance or protection, we need faith to receive. In front of that, please write Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. Luke chapter 5 verse 17 and verse 20. We looked at that a short while. The power of God was present to heal, but there was need for faith to make connection with the power. Next, please write this. This is the reason why Jesus always said, "Your faith has made you whole." In front of that, please write Mark chapter 5, verse 34, and continue the statement by saying, "Even though it is his virtue or anointing that actually performs the healing." In front of the last bit of the statement, Mark chapter 5 and verse 30. You see, it's the account of the woman with the issue of blood, we all know very well, and many other situations when people came to Jesus, he told them, "Well, your faith has made you whole. Be it unto you according as you have believed." But we see the woman with the issue of blood coming with faith and touching Jesus' garment. And Bible says virtue went out of Jesus. And Jesus knew that virtue or anointing had gone out of him. And the woman knew something had happened to her because she received that anointing into herself. Yet Jesus did not say, "Woman, my virtue that went out of me healed you." Woman, your faith has made you whole. Why? Because the anointing is there for everybody. They are all touching me, but they are not getting anything because they don't have the receiver. But thank you, woman, you came with the receiver. And so you are able to draw out of me what is always there for everybody. You see the key? Faith is required to connect with the power of God and receive it in your life. Now, in summary, how do you then apply this to your life individually? This is what we need to do. How do I ensure that what comes to me from God, I don't miss out on it? How do I ensure that the healing that belongs to me as a child of God, I don't miss out on it? More so when Jesus said healing is the children's bread. Remember that gentle woman that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "It's not proper for me to give the children's bread to dogs." The woman said, "Well, yes, I agree with you. I'm a Gentile. I don't have covenant with God, so I can't receive what belongs to the children. But give me the crumbs. The crumbs will do the job for me." And Jesus said, "Great is your faith, woman." And even the crumbs healed that woman's daughter. And yet the children that had the bread, they were not coming for the bread. Say to your neighbor, "Healing belongs to you. It is your bread. Learn to receive it by faith." Amen. So how do you do it personally? Three key things. Number one, the first thing is to receive faith, not the healing. Remember, we read that a short while ago. The first thing was that they came to hear him and then to be healed. Many of us, we just focus on our need. And it applies to every other need. If you are in trouble, the number one thing is not to get out of the trouble. I'm going to say that again. The number one thing when you are in trouble is not to get out of the trouble, but to receive faith that will get you out of the trouble. When you are sick, the number one thing is not to get healed, but to receive faith that will bring you the healing. When you don't have wisdom, you don't know what to do, the number one thing is not the wisdom, but to have faith that will help you receive the wisdom from God. God has the supply, but you need faith to receive from him. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. Because we focus too much on our need. I'm in trouble. All I just need is to get out of this trouble. I just want to get out of this trouble. Where do I go? Where is the next crusade? Where is this place? And then you just go up and down to and fro, up and down, tire yourself out. And still you won't receive anything because you don't have the receiver. Anywhere you go, you don't have the receiver. Anywhere I go, the radio signal is present. If I go out on the street there, the radio signal is present. If I go on the bus, the radio signal is present. In this room, the radio signal is present. The problem is not with the signal. The problem is with the receiver. No receiver. So whether I go on the bus or go on the street or stay in the room, if I don't have radio box, I still won't receive. So that's the problem. So people go up and down, waste so much money, some travel internationally to go and see some so-called evangelists, and they come back the same. Nothing. Waste all their money because they still don't have the receiver, you see. Say to your neighbor, just get faith, and you are ready to connect with the power of God. Amen. So the first thing is to receive faith from God's word. That is relevant to your particular need. So that's the first thing. Whatsoever your need, the first thing is get the Bible and find out what the Word of God says about that need. And begin to study and meditate in it to get your heart to become fully persuaded. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In front of that, Romans 10:17. Number two, then act upon your faith. Don't just receive faith. Many times we make the mistake of thinking that faith is just believing God. No. Believing is just part of faith. It's not a complete thing. Oh, many of us, when we talk about faith, we just say, all I need to do is believe God. No, all you need to do is not believe God. Believing is just part of it. It's not complete yet until you act on what you believe. You have to show your faith or your believing by your action, Bible says. And that's where we miss it. Imagine the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5 that we just made mention of. Bible says when she had heard of Jesus, she said to herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Imagine if she just sat at home and she kept saying that over and over again. Well, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If only I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I know there is power in the garment. It will heal me. If only I could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, the virtue in Jesus can make me whole. Forget about all those physicians. They wasted all my money, but if only I could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I shall be whole. How many of us know that she'll still be with the condition and die of it? Did she not believe? She believed that Jesus could heal her. But what's she doing with the belief? She had to take action. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Alright, the next thing is to take steps and go and do so. And Bible says she pushed her way through the crowd. When she came close, she saw many people around Jesus. She didn't get discouraged and say, well, I'll try another day. I said, today is the day. People or no people, I must get close enough to add action to my faith. I believe that if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be able. So I have to touch the hem of Jesus' garment today. All the people there, she pushed her way through them. Give me room, Lord. Get to Jesus. I must get to Jesus. Get out of the way. You get out of. Kick some of them because they're unbelieving people, you know. I'm just joking. Don't go and kick somebody. They may punch you. But just do what it takes to carry out your faith by action. That will show that you have faith. You see, Jesus saw the faith of the people that brought their paralyzed friend. He saw. Faith has to be seen. Faith is not something you hide. It has to be seen. Faith has to have action that shows that you really believe. In front of that, please write the scriptures. James chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. And there we'll see the account of the father of faith, Abraham, how he showed his faith by his action. The Bible says he actually offered his son Isaac. He didn't just say, I believe God. He took the boy and walked 3 days' journey to where God said. That's action of faith. Some of us will say, well, Lord, you know, I believe this Isaac, yes. Yes, I believe. I offer him to you. I offer him in the spirit. You know, we get spiritual. I offer him in the spirit. God says, well, show me your faith by your action. Oh, I believe in the spirit. Well, show me the belief in the spirit by action in the physical. That's why if you are sick, don't sit down and behave like a sick person. So, if you have pain and that finger is saying, well, you know you have pain, just bandage it and put it in front of you and show everybody you have a sore finger. And then, well, please don't touch it. It's sore. No, don't touch it. It's sore. Well, bandage it. Okay, fine. Praise God. But then, while it's in the bandage, begin to act in faith and move and say, well, thank God I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. The bandage is just temporary to hold in place. The healing is inevitable. Hallelujah, I'm healed. So begin to behave like somebody who is already healed. If you can't bend down because you have pain in your back and then you just stand still and stiff like that, well, where's your faith now? Well, begin to move it slowly and gently. When you take a few steps, make attempt to move and do what you couldn't do. And while you are doing that, begin to praise God and thank Him for your healing. Lord, I thank you. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm delivered from this back pain. I'm a believer and I act on my belief. Initially, you may not even be able to bend that much, but do something. Show your faith by your action. Begin to do the little you can to show that you truly believe, and God will help you to get it done perfectly. So therefore, number three. Oh, all right. Number two, I gave you the scriptures. James chapter 2 verses 20 and 22 and Mark chapter 5 verses 27 and 28. Number three, and finally, the action that you put to your faith will connect you with the power of God or the anointing to heal you or to meet whatsoever other need you have. See, again, the process is, the first thing is to receive faith. The second thing is to act upon your faith. And then the third thing is that the action that you put to your faith will connect you, automatically connect you with the power of God or the anointing to heal you or to deliver you or bless you or help you, whatsoever the need may be. Faith always connects you with the power of God to help you in any situation. In front of that, write this now. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Mark chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. And let me say this before we pray. Don't get the erroneous idea that going to the doctor means you don't have faith. Or taking medicine means you don't have faith. some Christians would have still been alive today. But because of ignorance, they died before their time. They said, oh, no, I'm not going to take any medicine because I'm just going to get it by faith. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm just going to get it by faith. Well, healing comes from God. No matter the means by which you get it. You can take herbs and God heals you by taking the herbs. How many of us remember King Ezekiah in the Bible? How did God heal him of his foot disease? Remember God sent his prophet Isaiah to him and told him, Ezekiah, put your house in order because you are going to die. And the man turned his face to the wall and prayed and said, God, no. And pleaded with God. And God told Isaiah, go back to him now and tell him I've heard his prayers. I've added extra 15 years to his life. And this is what you need to tell him to do. Go and get fig. Was that not what God used to heal? How come God went through the process of fig? After all, you sent your prophet, Isaiah. Why don't you just speak the word only? Already, Ezekiel has faith. But God said, take fig. Make it into a poultice. And tell him to apply it to the food. And that was how God healed him. So God can heal by herbs or medicine. You know, you have to understand that every healing comes from God. Devil doesn't heal anybody. The devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God is the healer. He can heal you through medicine. He can heal you through the doctor. He can heal you through herbs. He can heal you just through his word while you are studying it, because his word is medicine. He can heal you through the gifts of the Spirit in operation. The gift of healing can be in operation and God heals you. So you can't put God in a box. You have to be open to receive healing from him by faith, whichever way he chooses to heal you. Paul, for instance, wrote to Timothy in the Bible. Paul was a mighty apostle. God did extraordinary things by the hand of Paul. Timothy was his son in the Lord and he was a pastor of a church. And Bible says Paul wrote to him and said, Timothy, remember to take a little wine for your constant stomach trouble. How come Paul did not lay hands on Timothy to say, stomach problem, be gone? He probably had done it before. But God was not going to heal through that way. God was going to heal through another means. God can heal you through medicine. He can heal you through any means he chooses. But you have to be ready to receive it humbly. And say, God, whichever way you want to do it, thank you. My faith is in you. After all, the medicine that the doctor has given you, or the pharmacist, who made the components, is God. Can man create anything? Nothing. All the medicine you go and get from the pharmacist, God made the ingredients that they use to make formulate the medicine. And even the pharmacist that formulated the drug, God was the one that gave him wisdom to know how to mix it together. Like Bible says, the apothecary in the Bible is God that gave them the wisdom. The doctor that examines you and says, well, we know what to do with your situation, it is God that gave him the wisdom. So what are we saying? Don't limit God. Be hoping to receive healing from him and give him the glory. Don't give the doctor the glory. Don't give the herbs the glory. Give the glory to the Creator who created the herbs and gave the doctor wisdom to know what to do. So let's thank God this morning that he is our healer. Thank him, he is your healer. So if you need healing this morning, just thank him right where you are. That you believe God. You believe that Jesus already healed you over 2,000 years ago. And you receive the healing by faith. You receive the healing by faith because you believe that it is yours. Say this with me. Lord, I thank you that you are my healer. There is no sickness that is incurable with you. You can cure me through any means. If the doctor is able to, I thank you that you gave him the wisdom. If any herb is able to cure me, I thank you that you are the maker of the herbs. And if it is your word that heals me while I'm studying it, I thank you that it is your word. And if it is the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings healing to me, I thank you that it is your own gift. Take all the glory, Lord. I believe that healing is mine. No matter the sickness, healing is my portion. In the name of Jesus. If I go to the doctor and the doctor can't help me, I just know that that's not the way you want to do it. I'm not discouraged. I will look to you in faith. I will meditate in your word until the sickness disappears. I will go to church believing you that your presence will make me whole, because you never fail to heal the sick. Thank you for healing me today and every day of my life forevermore. I believe, I receive my healing right now and day by day forever through faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now lift the other hand and just thank him. He never fails to heal. Healing always comes from God. And we simply receive it by faith. And when you receive something by faith, you give God the glory. You thank him. You thank him. You be like that one leper out of the 10. Bible says Jesus touched the 10 lepers. But one looked back after he realized that the touch of Jesus had done something for him. And he began to give the glory to Jesus. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? Why are they not giving glory to God? Why are they not thanking me? And he said, only that one. And even that one was a Samaritan. Only that one was made whole. So if we believe, we thank God. So lift your hands to him and thank him. Thank him that you receive. You receive. Because the faith to receive belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Even you yourself, you belong to God. You are the temple of God. God owns everything. The faith is his. You are his. The word is his. The herbs, they are his. The doctor is his. Everything pertaining to your healing comes from God. Not from the devil. God wants you healed and wants you whole. The devil wants you sick and armed and dysfunctional. The devil doesn't heal. So if the doctor can heal you, thank God that he can use him to carry out his job. God is the healer. Lord, I bless you and I praise you for everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you that with you all things are possible, as it is written. There is nothing too hard for you. The things that are impossible with men, they are possible with you. Thank you for faith that you stir in the heart of every one of us here today to receive the healing, the deliverance, the supernatural intervention that we need in all aspects of life. You are our El Shaddai. You bring sufficiency to us in all areas of life. Blessings spiritually, blessings emotionally, blessings physically, blessings materially, blessings financially, blessings on our families, blessings on our jobs, blessings on our businesses, blessings on our studies and our careers, blessings on our ministries, blessings on everything that pertains to us. For we are the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus, and we are heirs according to the promise. Thank you for faith, Lord. to receive the blessings that are ours every day until you come. In the name of Jesus. While you are still thanking him, just keep thanking him right where you are. We are going to pass the elements of communion around. As you receive the elements, just keep thanking Jesus. He is your healer. He is your way maker. He is your peace.